There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that...
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, hour number two. And I got some text and phone calls to get to, plus the service dogs in Alabama story. I'll get to that in a second. But did you all hear, did I get that right? That listening to the commercial there during the top of the hour news, that's not from our inventory. That comes from the network that provides our national news. That if you, basically the wife in the commercial held out grown-up fun time as a negotiation tool for the husband getting life insurance, right? And if you're like me, a child of the 80s, you know that when the husband gets too much life insurance, it turns into, what was the show, Heart to Heart? Heart to Heart, where they cut your brake lines every time, and they always live somewhere in the Hollywood Hills with a big downhill, and the wives were constantly cutting the husband's brake lines in the car so they wreck it, so they get the health insurance, or they get the life insurance from them, right? So she is using to trade cash in nature's credit card there for some grown-up fun time as a negotiation tactic to get the husband to buy life insurance. So I'm pretty sure she can kill him. That was just... All right, that was my take from it. I know that, you know, maybe that was open to different interpretations for different people. I just heard that that's what I got out of that commercial. All right, go to the text line in a second. To the phones now at 343-0... What? That's just what I... No, that's what I heard. That's like... what I'm not telling you what you heard. I'm telling you what I heard. Go to the phones. 343-0106. And Tar in Mobile is first up. Hey, Tar.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing good, man.
You're doing great as usual.
Thank you.
I would like to bring out something... excuse me. About the bridge. Instead of a bridge, have the Army come here and build pontoons.
Okay.
Go right across the pontoons, and nobody pays a toll. But again, here's number two point. Mm-hmm. Have the people in Mobile vote whether they want a bridge or not. A citywide vote and see them. And I'm going off now. You okay. Keep your good, great work up, Sean.
Thank you, Tar. I appreciate it. All right. By the way, too, that side discussion here on the barbecue sauce, as we can tell you the level of ridiculousness on this. Talking about tariffing out-of-state barbecue sauce. It won't be an issue for me. I'll just be a bootlegger. I'll make my own. That's how I'm not going to get that money out of me. All right, let's see. All right, let's go to Thomas in Theodore next up. Hey, Thomas. Hey, man.
Hey, good afternoon, Sean. It's been a while. Thank you for having me on.
Pleasure. At least at this point.
This bridge, they're going to... I have so many takes and so many ways to go on this project that I hate this project. So what it's going to do to the families. Anyhow, we're going to create a traffic mountain in a municipality where trucks, they're going to start, and I've been visioning this stuff, placing myself in that truck. Now, when I hit Michigan Street and I'm going east, I'm going to have that baby revved up by 80, 85 in order to get over this bridge. And then when I hit Daphne, I'm going to be doing it 75, 85. And that's dangerous. Plus, we have
Wait, you're saying, wait, your logic, Thomas, hold on a second. So your logic is that if we do a better job of getting traffic flow through a bridge, because, you know, I am a bridge proponent. I'm not a toll proponent, but I am a bridge proponent. But if we get that, that will lead to truckers driving at unsafe speeds.
Yes, plus...
I have lost institutional control.
You still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Oh, I'm here.
Oh, Oh, okay. Then they have to shut down the Dolphin Island Bridge because of wind. And we got a lot of wind. And then look at when we had these frost warnings and we had the black ice. We weren't prepared. And there was one day when for 4 hours our police couldn't move, fire couldn't move, ambulance couldn't move, because we don't have any studded snow tires.
Yeah, this is a good point. Good point. Solid.
So this bridge, we gotta buy the studded snow tires.
Good point. Solid. Solid thinking. It's Thomas. Thomas, later on I'd like to hear your reaction to my reaction to the commercial, where it sounds like the wife was pretty sure in that commercial, bargaining, exchanging grown-up fun time for husband signing up for life insurance. That's what I get out of that commercial. All right, read a couple texts and we'll go back to the phones. Let me just get a couple of these texts through here. People are big on, hey, it was Webb last hour. Webb, people are cotton into your idea about barbecue sauce. And also somebody suggested we tax Alexander Shinara billboards. Now we're talking. Yeah, the heck with the bridge, says Eric, I'm buying tires that might snow. See, I mean, this is solid. Solid. Now, David said, I grew up in Memphis. I don't use sauce on my barbecue. But listen, you're going to be forced to use sauce on your barbecue. If that's where we're going to get the excise tax to pay for the bridge, as Webb suggested earlier, then we will have a requirement. Whether you eat it or not, the state will require you to buy a couple bottles a month. Nothing too much. I'm not asking too much, just a... And then there'll be barbecue sauce avoidance, and there'll be barbecue sauce moonshiners like me making it in our back of the tractor shed. And then the revenue will be after me. To the phones here. Hey, this is a man who will be at the meeting tonight, 6 to 8, on the causeway, as people come out to talk about this toll and the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project, Dr. Lou Campomenosi from the Common Sense Campaign. Hey, Dr. Lou.
Hey there, Sean. Listen, I really appreciate all your morning efforts to talk about this whole and put it into perspective and, you know, what we're trying to accomplish. And you know one thing, you know, the thing that bothers me just as much as it bothers you, this idea that they cannot delay the project. And, you know, the last time we looked, ALDOT has already delayed it from August 2020 to the fall of 2020. Why would they not wait until after the election and they give it a couple of months and see what happens? It just doesn't make sense.
I feel, and I appreciate hearing that, and I would like to hear from other people, because I feel that's a reasonable and pragmatic view of this. It's not some idealistic, I'm not torch waving, I'm saying, hey,
right,
let's make sure we play this correctly. Let's not look back in the rear view a couple years down the road and say, I sure wish we would have waited another year. We could have cut that price in half.
Exactly. And I mean, and since they've already built in their own delay, what is the point of not waiting just a few more months to test the waters and see what happens? Because they are going to look pretty stupid if they go forward and all of a sudden there's an infrastructure bill, whether it's the Senator Jones bill or the Trump bill or whoever gets the credit for it. It just doesn't make sense at all. So hopefully we can sell that. I think some of the people who are going to be at the meeting tonight, the senators who are actually, you know, who have a say in all of this in Montgomery, I think that they are behind us completely on the delay issue. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But
and you know, as somebody had said last hour, and is this or maybe it was Rob Holbert this morning, is this about saving face? You know, is this about that the idea is the ALDOT idea, and we're not going to come out with an option because there would be a loss of respect, or an attempt to save face, we're not going to do it any other way. If we've gotten to that point in government, I hope we have it. I hope everybody's a grown-up here and can, you know, talk about things openly and find the best idea, whether it's your idea or not.
Well, I mean, I think that's absolutely critical to any kind of, you know, bureaucratic approach that functions. I mean, you just can't look. This is how why the Japanese lost the Guadalcanal, okay? Because they could not change their tactics,
yep.
And so we beat them badly. But it's the same thing here. ALDOT seems to be absolutely dug in, and Bradley Byrne pointed this out a while ago. Another Channel 15, I think, had an article on it too. That Cooper basically said something along the lines of, "Look, these people with the money know where I am. They can come find me." That is an outrageous, arrogant approach that we're just not going to put up with. Now, it's easy for us to rant and rave about it, and whether or not Ivy is poison Ivy, I love that. your guys were getting you. That was good, I'll tell you. But you ought to keep playing that every hour, I think. But be that as it may, here you have a question as to whether or not Governor Ivy is going to think about reining in Cooper and saying, do it differently because these issues are there. And this is why October 7th is so important, because it is going to more than likely give people like Greg Allbritton and Jim Ziegler an opportunity to pitch a new plan. And that's why we have got to spend time and money getting North Alabama involved with this, getting them fired up about this, because they could be next. And that you know, this the political dimensions is, I think you all talked about it this morning. We don't have the numbers. Okay, understood. But, you know, you can make those numbers change somewhat if we can get enough support from North Alabama, because they don't want the tolls any more than we do, according to the poll that we had run 2 weeks ago.
But they just have to be, they have to be made aware of it. You know, that's the exactly. One thing, and I know y'all are doing that, but there are so many people up there that you're probably right that would agree with you. But it probably is not kitchen table discussion like it is here.
Exactly. Well, Mobile is the heart of the issue. So, and it's only natural that we would have 45,000 people on Ziegler's, you know, website, you know, ready to get the pitchforks and go to Montgomery, and the rest of the state is not that involved. But the danger is that they could be next, number one. And I think that, and I mentioned this yesterday, I think, when we were talking, the fact that the contract committee voted 21-0 with, you know, Senator Allbritton against going forward for Aldott to get their legal team together, that was an indication that maybe it's starting to seep into the consciousness of these people that there is an issue out there.
Well said. Remind folks again, tonight's event, to tell them the who, what, when, where, how, that
kind
of stuff.
The who, what, when, where. It was 6 to 8 p.m., Five Rivers Community Center. We have a public hearing opportunity for you to fill out a card, put your information on there about what you want to, you know, bring to the table in terms of improving the plan. And if you have a financial, you know, hardship with the $90 a month, $1,080 a year, then we want to hear about that too. We want Montgomery to know that there's something going on. And I'm hoping that this is going to be live streamed. And if it is, you can catch it on Common Sense Campaign Facebook. And if there are other places that are going to be, streaming it, like, to tell you the truth, I'll call you back in a minute. I didn't get a chance to talk to someone who is going to talk to one of the TV channels to see if they're going to live stream. So I'll find that out and call back if that's okay.
That's perfect. Absolutely. Keep us in the loop. I appreciate it, Dr. Lou. We're going to run to the break and come back. Y'all are not doing this again. Please, I told you this morning, you're going to continue to get me in trouble with the governor. She's not going to keep coming on the show like she has in the... Oh, wait, she never comes on the show. All right, let it roll. Midday Mobile.
Poison Ivy, Poison Ivy.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 124 FM Talk 106.5, 94 degrees now at the studio, but only a heat index of 113. Nothing like the 121 from yesterday. Refreshing. Beautiful out there. I want to give you a heads up on an event happening this weekend. I think is for sure worth mentioning. Texas to Brazil, Brazilian Steakhouse is honoring Mobile's first responders and families, something we're all about here at FM Talk 106.5. This goes on Sunday from noon to 3 at the Shops of Bel Air. Are they spelling it S-O-H-S-H-O-P-S, or is it the S-H-O-P-P-E-S, the fancy? like Oldie Towdy Daphne. What's up, Daphne? Proceeds of this event is at Shops of Bel-Air. It's Sunday, noon to 3. Proceeds to support the 501c3 organizations of the Citizen Police Academy Alumni Association, supporting the Mobile PD Firefighter Safety Foundation, and Family of the Fallen Foundation, something we are all about here at FM Talk 106.5. Come experience Brazilian food and support public safety. Enjoy a 44 self-serve selection. Cold salad bar, meats, cheeses, seafood, veggies, 9-item hot bar, lobster bisque, au gratin potatoes, 15 meats roasted over an open flame, over natural wood charcoal, the gaucho way, lamb, beef, chicken, pork, Brazilian sausages, dessert, beverages, Brazilian and live music, door prizes and more. Reservations are required. This is Sunday. It's cocktail casual attire. Google it if you want to see it. Cocktail casual attire. Tickets are $50 to $75, and there's a limited number of tickets. For more information, you can hit us up on the text line here or just email me, Sean, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com. I'll give you the phone number, but you could reserve at Texas to Brazil, 444-0777, or call John at 251-401-7246, or just send us a note here at the station, and I'll get you the information. All right, I'll take another call or two and some text on this, but I do want to get, I got to just at least get to the service animal story. So we'll go to Dennis in Baldwin County. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, Sean. Forgive me if I regress a little bit about this toll bridge, but I was wondering, has there been a financial study done on this bridge regarding the amount of business or commerce that we may be missing with the current situation that we have?
You know, I don't have it in front of me. I think there's some analysis has been done on that. I don't have any concrete numbers for you, so I have to dig in.
All right, what's the cost? What's the cost of the bridge?
$2.1 to $2.4 billion. What's $300 million among friends? Somewhere in there.
All right, 2.4. So, if we're going to look at this as an investment, which I understand our government really doesn't do that very often, right. I would think that we'd want a payback of a minimum of 30 years.
Yep.
Which would be, what is that? Right around $100 million. Over $100 million a year,
but their contract is it's a 55-year sunset on the toll.
On the toll, I understand that, but that's a business entity. They're looking for profit. Off
sure,
the
as they should. I understand that.
But as citizens, if our government is going to spend money, we need to see a return on that $2.4 billion to the citizens, which I would say should be the economic benefit of having this bridge. As a function of how much commerce
sure.
it bring into the state,
I'm following you. I don't have the numbers to answer that. The simplistic numbers you're talking.
I think the question would be: does the government have those numbers?
Great question.
Does the Toll Bridge Authority have those numbers?
And I'll look to find out. But even on the simplistic side here, the one we talked about the other day, and this is pretty ham-fisted and simplistic, but it's interesting. If you look at if you get the $90, all-you-can-drive package, and that's per vehicle, but let's just say per individual, we're not even going to talk about families, individual, one vehicle, so it's $1,080 a year for that, is the value of not having the traffic we have now worth $1,080 to each citizen? Would 50% say yes, 50% say no? Would it be 60-40, 70-30? I mean, if I could say you're in traffic, hey, if you give me $1,080, I'll get you out of traffic right now, I don't think many people would take that deal.
That's my point, is why would the state of Alabama spend this money and put it on the back of the taxpayers if it's a bad investment? I mean, you have people in Atlanta that are in traffic all day, every day. Why don't we just build a huge bridge across Atlanta to make it easy for traffic to flow through?
It'd be nice when I go to the Smokies. I would like to avoid that.
It would be nice if you don't spend $2.4 million to have convenience.
I'm with you. I appreciate the call. All right, I got to jump here quickly because all I'm going to be able to do is set this story up, and then y'all can go look at it. Lita Gore's story, AL.com. Alabama has changed a law here. People who falsely claim their pet is a service animal could soon face criminal charges in Alabama. Think about getting locked up on that one. What are you in here for? Robbery. What are you in here for? Armed robbery. Assault. What are you in here for? I claimed my monkey was a service monkey. Starting September 1st, There's a new criminal penalty in Alabama for those who misrepresent a pet as a service animal or animal in training in the public space or when seeking housing accommodations in Alabama. Making false claims will be a Class C misdemeanor, resulting in a $100 fine and 100 hours of community service to be performed with an organization that serves people with disability or one approved by the court. I do like that nuance. I think that's good. Alabama Act stipulates that a service animal, service animals are limited to two types. A dog, or anybody want to guess the other one? Anybody? I'm going to let y'all guess for a second here. We've got just a few seconds. A dog or a miniature horse. If you guessed miniature horse, you're correct. The animal must be individually trained to do work or perform tasks that benefit a person with a disability. So if you've been masquerading, you know, your guinea pig as a service guinea pig, if you had a service iguana and you've been pulling that scam, gig is up. All right, coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Thursday style. I'm glad to have you along. Text line open for you at 343-0106, 343-0106. Evie Owen joining us in just a second. Talk about some of the stuff that has made the news around here when it comes to scams. And we're going to get some more information on Medicare scams going on, Medicare services fraud, all those kind of things in just a second. I do want to take Wayne, number one, just because I like taking folks from Saraland's phone calls, but it says vital toll info. So we go to the vital toll info line and talk to Wayne. Hey, man.
Hey, buddy. How are you doing today?
I'm good. So what's up?
I just left a joint luncheon of the Saraland Chickasaw Chamber. We do it once a year, and the guest speaker was a young man from ALDOT who was sent out to be the sacrificial lamb to explain to us why tolls were a good thing. And one of the things that he talked about, he showed this pie chart of where all the money was coming from to build the bridge, about 25% from private equity, some from the Fed, some from the state, then there was a federal, some kind of federal program loan or something that I wasn't sure where exactly that was coming from. So the concessionaire, they call him, is going to be responsible for collecting all the tolls and paying back about 75% of the debt, so roughly $1.7 billion is what they'll be responsible for. But one of the interesting things that the gentleman said was, when he was asked by me whether the state would benefit financially from this transaction, he said yes, that parts of the toll would be funneled back to the Alabama Department of Transportation. And I thought that was very interesting that we pay gasoline and taxes, and truckers pay road taxes and everything to build and maintain the roads. And here we are having to pay a toll, and part of that toll is going to Montgomery.
Did he tell you cents on the dollar or percentage or anything like that?
He did not. So I have no idea what that number is, but it just ticked me off, to be honest with you, that a single penny would be going back to him.
You know, one thing I've thought about through this process is the fact that they said for 55 years they have to sunset this, but the private concessionaire has to do maintenance and upkeep on the road. But the way I see it, ALDOT has an incentive there because the private concessionaire is not in the business of maintaining sections of I-10. Who are they going to hire to do the maintenance?
That's exactly right.
ALDOT.
Exactly right. That's right. And ALDOT will hire probably the company that ends up getting the bid to build the thing to begin with. So it just really did not sit well with me, the fact that ALDOT essentially is having to fork over some state monies that we contribute to only to be reimbursed. And
That is actually a brand new piece of toll information. So that
it,
is that goes in the
me.
That go, hey, you and I both, Wayne Biggs, Jordan, that goes in the stack that's now, I don't know, 4 or 5 feet high in my office of new pieces of information. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you, brother.
All right. Wayne Biggs, bye. Checking in. And once again, that meeting tonight from 6 to 8 at the Five Rivers Center on the Causeway. And your chance, they have said, and I will repeat this, it's not just come out and gripe. They said if you want to gripe, they link through here. You can call Governor Ivey and do your griping. It's your chance tonight to come up with ideas, present different ideas, just like, or pieces of information, and try to put things together. You'll have 3 minutes to speak at tonight's event. Plus, I know there will be a whole bunch of politicos there with their take on it as well. All right. I mentioned Ivey Owen joining us from AARP Alabama in studio to talk about these are, I mean, kind of like ripped from today's headlines kind of stuff. Medicare scams going on, services fraud. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
Okay, so it's pretty common that we're reporting a story here or doing some kind of warning on there. Be careful. This scam's going on. That scam's going on. Like, what are the bigger things in Medicare scams that you got to watch for?
Well, unfortunately, scam artists are very creative. Yes. And as soon as we put one out, there comes another one. They come up with a new way to do it. So last year, Medicare sent out new Medicare cards. They were supposed to be better, more secure, easier for the patients, but harder for the scammers to get a hold of. Well, with those new cards, we saw lots of scams pop up around them. Like, they would get a call, a robocall that said, hey, you've got to give us the number so that you can activate it, or if you pay $20, then we'll send you a upgraded plastic card that actually didn't exist. Things like that. So, you know, they come up with new ways to do these things all the time.
So are the scammers, just when they do this, are they just getting random numbers and calling it, or do they have a way to figure out that these are people that might have gotten the new Medicare cards?
Well, I think they do have a way to figure out a list, but a lot of it's random, and there has been research that's shown when you pick up or when you do talk to them, even if it's, I know a lot of people play an air horn or they whistle or something like that, very creative, lets you get out your anger at them, but that automatically triggers you in their system as somebody who is susceptible to scams and robocalls. So the more you pick them up, the more you talk to them, even if you're not actually talking to them, you'll find yourself starting to get more and more and more.
Because I've said that in the past, like when a call comes in on my phone here, if I don't know who you are, you better text me or leave me a message, because I'll never answer a number I don't know.
Right.
Because I've always been told that what you're saying, if you answer it, it at least shows that you go into the other pile of these are
exactly
active numbers.
Right. That's exactly right. Yep.
So if somebody gets a call, I mean, are there legitimate calls that come around Medicare?
Well, yes, but it's only in very, very, very rare instances. So, and this goes for most government agencies, the IRS, Social Security.
Right, IRS says, we'll never call you.
They will never, ever call you. Now, there are some times where Medicare will call you, but it's only if you asked for the call. So if you call their Medicare tip line or their helpline and leave a message and ask for a call back, then obviously
you're
they're
expecting
call you
a call back in
right.
that case.
But just out of the blue, from any government agency, they're not going to call you, and especially they're not going to ask you for your information. They're not going to ask you for your Medicare number or your Social Security number or anything like that.
The first inkling of that's a scam.
Yeah, that's a red flag. And scammers feed on getting you into fear, and it's called being under the ether. So they make this sense of urgency.
Sure.
You know, you've got to do it now. You can research it later, but at least give us this now. Give a little bit of information now. And they create this sense of urgency, and which it works. It works. Of course, if you're telling me you're going to put me in jail or something
sure.
like that because
sure.
I didn't go to jury duty, yeah, that's a little scary.
Okay, so, and we hear the scams are out there, and then we've seen some bigger profile cases. The federal government has cracked down on Medicare services fraud. And all that. How does that racket work?
Yeah, so that there have been a lot of big crackdowns on that this year, even in Alabama, close to home. But, of course, Medicare services fraud's been around for a while. Typically, it looks like somebody calling to say you're eligible for a free back brace or some type of medical equipment.
Okay.
Now the new one is, and this was a new one on me, the DNA testing. And, of course, that's become big just in
sure.
general.
Right.
With people paying, you know, for that, for DNA tests. But there are new scams now where people are calling, robocalls are calling, saying, hey, Medicare is doing free DNA testing. Just pay the shipping and handling. And, of course, then they get your credit card information. So Medicare does not cover anything for free.
Right.
Everything that's covered does need a doctor's prescription. So there's no.
But let's just stop right there. If somebody is getting a call that they're going to get this DNA test done just for shipping and handling, it is a scam.
It is a scam. It is.
Okay,
yes.
So understand that that's a scam. We're going to come back with more questions. And if you've got questions, too, we've got an expert in here, EVO, and with the AARP. And we're talking about Medicare scams, Medicare fraud, and how to pick out the fraud. But right now we know if they call and say, lucky you, you can get your DNA test. It's not lucky you.
Nothing.
All right, 144, we're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 148 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Thursday style. Glad you're along. Evie Owen, our guest in studio, and we actually during the break came up with some scams that maybe haven't even come up yet, so I won't bring those up. I don't want to encourage any of that behavior, but we're talking about the scams that they're running right now and what people can do to tell if it's a scam. And you said, I mean, first of all, it's in the rarest of cases that you're going to get a call from Medicaid. I mean, Medicare is not going to call you.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, that's
right.
So that's the first clue,
right?
And then you said
if they ask you for information, for your money, for your Social Security card number, your bank account number, your address, your birthday, any of that.
This is, yeah, I said torn out of today's headlines. So we're talking about this. The ancestry thing that's so big. The genetic testing, you know, there's a lot of companies out there to do it. So this person's coming by. How's this working?
Yeah, that was an unusual one. So we had a caller at one of our fraud phone banks, and she said that she had gotten a knock on the door. There was a person going around, and I think she said that the person was wearing scrubs, was going around.
Always the costume, put some scrubs on, sure, put one of those little reflective things on the head.
She put a lot of effort into this, and was going around door to door at the apartment complex with cheek swabs, asking people if they would like to do a DNA test for, you know, future cancer screening, things like that. That
right.
Medicare was covering them. All they had to do was give her their Medicare number and pay the $6.95 shipping and handling. And that was it.
So, I mean, and people are going to be motivated because they want, and everybody wants to know what
their cool thing.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's cool. But if you get that, it's probably a scam, y'all. And so what do people do to protect themselves? I mean, you said, you know, about, if you blow the air horn in the phone, you're just encouraging them, kind of?
Yeah. Of course, we say whenever you get a call that you don't know the number, don't pick up. Screen your calls. Let it go to voicemail. We have a lot of research that shows that if the area code is from your own area code or from a family's area code, that you're more likely to pick up. But scammers use spoofing all the time.
Oh, heck, they'll have the prefix, not only area code, prefix of
right.
your phone.
And they can spoof the name, too. They can spoof it to say it's from Medicare. It may be one letter off or something like that, just
right.
like with emails and with URLs. So screen your calls, number one. Specifically with the Medicare scam, don't give out your Medicare number to anybody over the phone. Only give it to your doctors, your pharmacists, your trusted
providers.
As
a rule, this is a concrete thing.
Yeah.
Do not give that number out over the phone.
That's right. That's right. Unless it's your doctor. If you're talking to your doctor, you initiated the call, that's fine.
Right.
Nobody's tapping your phone. But don't give it out to somebody that just calls you out of the blue. If somebody calls you randomly, don't give out your Medicare number.
See, now that's a good takeaway. That's one that we can take to heart. We can also share with family members that
exactly.
might need to hear it. That's something you can crochet on a throw pillow. You know, those are the things you can crochet on a throw pillow are good takeaways.
Right.
Do not give your Medicaid number to anybody who just called you on
that's
the phone.
That's right. And
don't do it.
Don't do it.
There you go.
Don't
that's
do
pretty
it.
Concrete.
And also, check your explanation of benefits or your Medicare summary notices.
What are those?
Are the sheets that come in the mail. And we all get these no matter who our health insurance is through. I get them for Blue Cross.
Mm-hmm.
That's what tells you a detailed transaction list of all the doctors you've seen, all the prescriptions that's been covered, all the medical equipment you've gotten. If there's anything on there that you haven't gotten or doctors that you haven't seen, you need to call the Medicare line right now and talk to them about that, because that's most likely fraud.
Okay, so that's that Medicare services fraud, right?
Right.
So this game is played why? Somebody's putting things on your tab that you didn't get?
That's right. Basically, yeah. There's a few ways to do it, and all scammers benefit in different ways. That one particularly has to do with actual healthcare providers, doctors, rogue doctors,
right.
or medical services and equipment providers that have found a way to cheat the system and make more money.
Well, because, I mean, we'll see the headline, or we'll see the arrest of seven people in Florida today,
right.
on Medicare services fraud, and,
right.
but quite often they don't explain what you're explaining, how the...
Yeah.
I'm interested in how the racket works.
So a lot of times with those, what happens is they have actually had real patients' Medicare numbers, but they have charged them. They've either upcharged them. So say you came in and you just, you know, had a flu test.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they actually write it down for a lot more than that. And they charge Medicare for a whole lot more than that. Or they get Medicare numbers and then they just start charging for back braces, electronic wheelchairs, all sorts of stuff that the people don't actually need.
And they don't even have to provide. They just
right.
get the payment for...
They never get it. Or sometimes you'll just be sitting there and all of a sudden a back brace shows up at your door and you don't remember ordering it. That happens too.
That would be a tell.
That would be a red flag there. But you will see all of those things. If they're using your Medicare number, you will see them on your Medicare summary notices and or on your explanation of benefits. Those will be on there. And you want to call and report that.
So, okay, if anything shows up the house you didn't order, basically, yeah. any medical devices.
Call Medicare.
Okay. And the real reason, somebody might say, why the heck, that's Medicare's problem. But it really is, yeah. I mean, it's the taxpayer's problem.
Well, it's a taxpayer problem, but it can also affect the patient tremendously because if Medicare thinks they've already sent you an electronic wheelchair and 6 months later you do actually need an electronic wheelchair, they could deny you because they think they've already sent it to you. So you could be denied future coverage because of fraudulent charges that are on your Medicare statement.
But that is going to be...
That's a problem.
So, I mean, basically, like a credit card statement, cell phone statement, whatever, go through and check.
That's right.
I don't think I've ever checked. Yeah, people don't check these things.
No, you're learning stuff, too.
That's right. Absolutely. Okay, so, and you said, how do we... Now, let's initiate the phone call and call Medicare. What is the right number? What is the right way to do it? How do we know we're calling the right place?
You can call a few different things. You can call 1-800-MEDICARE.
Okay.
That's their just general Medicare line. It's on the back of your Medicare card. Also, the Office of Inspector General has a number for that. That I can't remember off the top of my head. It's 1-800-HHS-TIPS.
Okay.
That's what that one is.
All right, very good.
And that's who prosecutes.
She had no notes on that, by the way.
That's who prosecutes those.
Okay, so if that stuff shows up, go ahead and report it.
Yes, immediately.
Because, yeah, you gave me the other angle, not just for the taxpayer in general, but
right.
it could mess up the individual's claim down the road that
right.
they when they really need something.
Right, and that's the real tangible takeaway. It does increase, of course, tax. It's taxpayers
sure.
initially, and it does increase the cost of other health care, even if you don't have Medicare, because it, you know, all expenses go up and everything costs more.
You know, in some of your notes to me, you talked about the robocalls and the Senate TRACED Act and all that,
right.
and that's going to help some, but people got to remember that the people who do this are criminals in the first place. Like, they don't care that they're breaking this law because they're ready to break
yeah.
other laws, right?
Right. And a lot of them aren't even on our soil. And that's what's
right.
so difficult.
Oh, you'll hear, you know, attorneys general say, well, we're going after these scammers. I'll say, well, you better pack your parka because you're heading to Russia or you're heading to China or
yeah.
heading somewhere else.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why the bills right now that are in Congress, which are expected to be in a conference committee when they get back from August recess, there's a bill that's already passed the Senate and there's a bill that's already passed the House. They're called two different things. The TRACED Act has passed the Senate and the Stopping Illegal Robocalls Act has passed the House. Those are going to be in conference. Hopefully they work those out.
Yeah, do reconcile
quickly.
On them.
Yeah. But it's very bipartisan. Those passed both houses with unreal numbers, you know, just incredible bipartisan.
Which is
numbers.
Saying something today because not a lot of
it's
stuff.
It's really
gets...
saying something. But so those bills really target what we can do here at home. So they talk about allowing the internet and the cell phone provider companies to actually regulate those robocalls, the illegal ones. There are some legal robocalls.
But you can opt out of those.
You can. And you opted into them to begin with.
Yeah, and people will say, well, I've opted out. Why? There's some of them that don't care that you opted out or not.
Most of them don't.
Yeah, that's right.
If you do, it is good to sign up for the Do Not Call registry. We do recommend it.
Okay.
But it's not a perfect system.
Yeah, very good. Thank you for your time. Thanks for the information.
You.
And if people have questions, they can direct them here. I can email you, or is there a place to go for the...
Yeah, AARP.org/FraudWatchNetwork has a ton of great resources on all of these different scams. You know, it doesn't matter the day or the week, there's a new scam. And we've got tip sheets on all those different scams. If there's anything new coming out, we'll have lots of good information there.
Good stuff. Thank you, Evie. All right, we are out of here. Back in tomorrow morning, bright and early for Mobile Mornings. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. Remember, online at fmtalk1065.com. Also, check us out on Facebook and Twitter.